Thursday the 22nd of May, Lamed Beis La'Omer, Rabbi Daniel Mann, two carry-ons and a student.
Very good. Okay, so we're at an airport now. We're at an airport, and we're sitting by the gate. It's before boarding time. For argument's sake, we'll say this Ben-Gurion airport in Eretz Yisrael. And there's this yeshiva bacha sitting there. He was up all night packing. Sometimes he's up. Most of the time he's sleeping, or in a state kind of in between the two. Anyways, two men approach this poor guy, and they say, you know, we'd like to go to the... They're not boarding yet. We still have about 20 minutes. We'd like to run to the duty-free shop, but it's a little bit away. Could you do us a favor? Could you watch these bags? Okay? Now, you can, on a plane, your big luggage, as we all know, you check in underneath, but you could take with you a piece or two of carry-on luggage. It's a carry-on. That's what a carry-on is. So each one has this black carry-on, this black bag, and they say, could you watch it for me? They give it to the student, and he says, sure, give it with me. No problem, you're in good hands. So they give it to him. Off they go to the duty-free shop. They come running back a little while later, and they say, okay, can we have our bags back? Sure. But he looks down at the bags, and he first begins to realize they're identical. The two black bags. So he says, no problem, I'll open up one. He opens it up. Diamonds. It's a black bag full of diamonds. So he says, okay, which one of you? It's mine! It's mine! Both of them say immediately that the diamonds are his. So he says, well then, this bag has to belong to somebody. What's in that? And he pulls the zipper, he opens it up. Sardine sandwiches. Whose is this? He goes, I don't know. How'd this get here? He goes, I don't know, but the diamonds, they're mine. So now we have two very angry people and one sleepy yeshiva student who has just been jolted out of his sleep. And what does he do? Can he keep, does he have to give, how does he decide which person to give the diamonds to and which person gets the sandwich? Or maybe he keeps it. Or worst case scenario, maybe he has to come up with two sets of diamonds. What do you do? So they go running to the airport rabbi, Ben-Gurion. That's why it's in Ben-Gurion, because you need an airport rabbi for this. Now, if you were the airport rabbi, what would you do? How do you decide such a... Okay. Okay. Now, I'm not a posik here, but what I'm going to try to do is we'll try to analyze it from three perspectives, from three points, and by doing so, we'll raise some of the issues that hopefully somebody who does have to bapkin would have to deal with. Now, it's important to realize that there's no simon in here, absolutely. It's not a cut diamond with statistics of exactly how each diamond looks like. They're raw, they're totally, totally no simon at all. So the first question is, does this person bear any responsibility? And we're going to come back, we're going to review these questions afterwards more in close detail. What's his responsibility? Maybe he has no responsibility at all. You could leave it by him if you want, but you can't really expect anything. Second of all, even if we were to assume that he's responsible to look after this in a proper manner, was he negligent? After all, he did return the bags. Was he expected to know which bag belongs to which person? Thirdly, and the third thing we have to do is even if he's negligent, but now he has a problem, because he's only chayev, he's only responsible to pay one person, and he has two people claiming, how do we deal with that? Okay, let's go to the first one. First thing is, what's his responsibility? Does he have responsibility? Now, a lot of you are probably thinking that, well, he's a shomachina, he's an unpaid watchman. Right? A person who, the Torah law is, there's different types of watchmen. Some are paid, some are not paid, some rent, some loan, right? But if somebody's unpaid, he has some responsibility, but only minimal, meaning if it would be stolen, if somebody was to sneak up in the middle of the night somehow and steal it, he doesn't really have to bear responsibility. However, if he's negligent, he's like a mazik, if he's negligent, he does have to pay. So a lot of you are probably thinking, well, maybe he's a shomer chinam, maybe he's an unpaid watchman, in which case he bears minimal responsibility, and then we'll have to carry it from there. Okay. Now the question is, how does one become a shomer chinam? How does one become a shomer chinam? So there's we're looking at Chayshin Mishpat, Reis Tadak Aleph, where some of the shir comes from. It says, Sif Beis, it says the Shemachinah, if he accepts upon himself to watch something, But even if he doesn't explicitly say, yes, I'm your watchman, I'll watch it, he just says, Hanach lefanai, leave it by me. Right? Just leave it by me. So that's enough to become an unpaid watchman. So now, these two people, they approach the yeshiva boy in the airport, right? And they said, can we leave this with you? He says, yes, leave it with me. Maybe he's a watchman. Ah. But then we turn to Sif Hay. And Sif Hay, there's a machlokas. There's a disagreement. And it goes like this. It says, there are those that say that this shomer, this watchman, as soon as he says, leave it by me, and at the point when the owners leave, meaning they go off towards the duty shop, then chayev on pasha, he's now obligated on negligence, afal pi shelo mashach. That's the clue here. Even though he didn't do what we call a kinyan, he didn't do any action that legally makes it that now there's something special, there's an official title on him, he made no special action, he just verbally said, leave it by me, and the people left it by him, they left. So some say at that point, he's a Shem Echinam. So, this yeshiva boy, he was just sitting on the bench, they put the luggage in front of him, right, it qualifies, he's a Shem Echinam. V'yesh mishiyom, but those that argue. And they say, no, he's not responsible ad sheyimshach, until he actually pulls it, because that's one form of a kinyan, it could be other forms also. Right? Uvamakam shemashicha kana. It also has to be in a place where mashicha works. Meaning, in a rishus haravim, in the public domain, if somebody were to try to make a mashicha, he pulls an object, nothing happens. There's no legal outcome. It has to be in a private area, his own yard, a yard that's shared, or something unknown called a simta. So now already, we can get this yeshiva boy off the hook. Right? Because they're going to say, you know, you're a watchman, and you got to pay. He says, no, I went shulchan aruch. Yesh mishi amer, there's some that say you're not a watchman until you actually make a kinyan. And I didn't do anything. You guys just left it by me, right? And it's your problem. How do we paskin? The Shach says, it seems that from the Gemara, it seems that the Iker, the main explanation is that he in fact does have to make a kinyan. And the Vilna Gaon says the same thing. He says, Pashta the Gemara, the simple explanation of the Gemara is you have to make a kinyan. It would seem from both that that's their meaning. And if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, he seems to say that. He says, G'dali HaAchronim, they resolve the Shach and the Gra, that indeed you do have to make a kinyan. And so too, it seems from Yerushalmi. So we have a way to exempt this yeshiva boy. Let's say he actually pulled it. Then already he's a little bit more in trouble. Right now he's a Shemachina. So now we have to clear. I don't know the answer to this. We have to clear. Is it a Rosh Hasharabim or a Simta? Right? I don't know. Is it because, what's the defining point? Is it that it's protected? That not that many people can take it because it's semi-private? Or does it mean that he has a right to put it there? I don't know. Maybe it depends on the airport gate, how many people are at that point. I don't know. Interestingly, there's a middle opinion, which I think is actually the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan. And there's an opinion like this. The opinion goes that yes, you do have to do an action. You do have to do an action. But normally, you can't make a mashicha in a public domain. In this situation, you could. That's the opinion of, I think it's the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan. It's certainly an opinion of Yishan. In which case, over here, in the airport, we don't really have to decide what the status of the airport lounge is. As long as he pulls it, he becomes a shomer. Some interesting questions which came up yesterday, I'm not going to answer, is what happens if he didn't pull it right away? Right? That's why he says, leave it by me, and they leave it by him. But then after a while he realizes that the air conditioning is blowing on him and he's very cold, so he picks himself up and he moves a few seats over, right away from the vent, so that he's more comfortable. But he's, after all, he's responsible with the boy, and he sees the luggage over there, so he takes it with him. Right? Would that qualify as a mashicha? Right? Meaning he has no intention to accept the luggage at that point. He's not doing it to become a watchman. He's certainly not planning to make a kinyan, right? He's just moving it along with him so he could be more comfortable. You feel it's not a mashicha. Okay. What? Okay. I hear. So you can ask the same question really right at the beginning. Yeah. Okay. So you could say the same thing right at the beginning. You could say as soon as he accepts the shmirah, he doesn't have a mind kinyanim. He doesn't know from kinyanim, but he sees the guy struggling with the luggage. He says, "Here, let me help you with that." Right? We have a similar question at that point. Right? You would say it's an umdana, and you would say, "What do you mean? You had no intention to make a kinyan." Okay. This is what you need a posik for. Baruch Hashem, it's not me. Well, I shouldn't say Baruch Hashem, unfortunately. Go ahead, no, yes?
If they came to him as a group, why can't you return the goods to them as a group?
Okay, we're going to talk about this. We'll get there.
Anyway, his share in the airport is very limited. They've agreed that he only keeps an hour. It's not proper Shabbat.
Okay, let's move on. After you get later, at the end I might need time to finish off, so then we'll ask the questions and then we'll know we made it. If I'm desperate. Okay, now, let's look at this logically a little bit. Right, what are we saying? The first thing is we try to decide whether he's actually responsible or not. Right, that was the first question. Is he responsible? And we said it could be he's a Shem Echinim, could be he's not. The interesting Baruch HaShulchan, who says like this, he says, even if he's not a Shem Echina, he says, maybe we can get him on another rap. We can make him chayy for another reason. How? He says like this. I once heard a shiur on cancellation fees. He gives an example like this. Somebody told me this thing happened to him recently. He's a person, he runs a car service. Okay, I don't know if he always does it, but people will call him up, they say, I have to go, I have an appointment downtown, I have an appointment at the airport, I have to be there at a certain time, meet me, right? Can you pick me up at 4 o'clock? Right? And that's what he does. Okay? So that's what happens. Somebody made an appointment for 4 o'clock. Comes 3:30, another person calls him up and says, you know, can I use your services? He says, listen, I have an hour trip to the airport. I have to be there at 4. I won't be able to do it. Maybe another time. I'm sorry. Then the original guy calls him up at 10 to 4 and he says, I made a mistake. I can't go. I'm not going to if I don't need you anymore. And he lost his business deal. So there's some that hold. The Baruch Hashem comes down. There's some that hold. But this is a halakha principle of Garmi, meaning he indirectly caused another person to lose, and according to some, he would have to pay. He's responsible. So Aruch HaShulchan says, maybe this yeshiva boy, even though he's not a shomer, but maybe he'll be responsible, similar to that person of a Garmi. That's what Aruch HaShulchan entertains, but he says he feels that the Shulchan Aruch passed not that way, so he kind of withdraws from that. Okay. So now we decided responsibility depends perhaps if he made a kinyan, if he made a proper kinyan. Now, let's say he made a proper kinyan, for argument's sake, right, he didn't do a mashicha because he knew mashicha sometimes works, sometimes doesn't work, so he made agbah, he lifted it up. If you lift it up, it doesn't make a difference where you are. You could be in a private place, you could be in a shisarabim, it works. And he also was very careful. He said, I don't want anybody to tell me that I didn't have a mind. I'm making a kinyan on Yeshayim Rechinam now. You don't have anything to worry about. Okay, that's what he said. And then we have to know, is this negligence? Okay? Now, before we bring proofs, before we actually go through the Gemara, just logically, there's a case like this. Let's say somebody were to say, did you ever have, this happens to me sometimes, I have an important document. So I put it away, never put something away in a safe place. That's what I find. Right? When I need the document, I say, I know I put it in a safe place. All my other documents, all these papers, they're piled up on my table. I don't need them. They're months old. But the one I need, it's in a safe place. If it's in a safe place, you're in trouble. So that's what this shomer did. Right? The balabas, the owner of the article, comes to the shomer and says, thank you very much for watching my article or watching my money. Can I have it back, please? He goes, mister, you're in good hands. Right, I put it in a really safe place. I buried it 10 feet deep. Nobody's ever going to find it. He says, that's great. I just want it back, though. He goes, I forgot where I put it. Right? So the halacha is, obviously, it says he's a pasher. That's negligent. Right? And he has to pay, even though it might take him a week to find it, but he will find it, but he has to pay immediately. Why? Because obviously the goal of Shmira is not the mere act of watching. The goal of Shmira is to return it to its rightful owner. Right? So similarly, if he were to say, I gave the object to somebody else, it's true you watched it, but that doesn't count, right? If he says, I watched it, but I don't really remember if you're the guy that gave it to me. Can you prove it to me? Obviously, that's negligence. You're watching it to return it to the rightful owner. That's part of the original shmira. The original responsibility is that you're going to watch it and return it to me. So in our case, when two people come to him with the two cases, right? So he would be responsible. And I'm digressing, but I left out one point. The case of diamonds really isn't such a good case. Because if you give somebody something that's gold and you tell him to watch silver, right, he's only responsible for the silver. He only accepts it. My feeling is, generally speaking, when people are traveling, they go on the plane with a carry-on, nobody expects that's loaded with diamonds. Certainly if he's giving it to the sleepy yeshiva boy in the lounge, right, Nobody, you don't give your bag of diamonds to a total stranger, right? So this fellow here obviously doesn't think that there's diamonds in here, right? So I think he's not responsible for diamonds. So that much you can take a sigh of relief. However, more common would be that there's a laptop inside it, right? People travel with laptops, with computers nowadays. It happens all the time, right? So if they opened up and one case had a laptop and they both wanted it, right? And the other one had lunch, right? So we would have this question. Okay, let's go to Gemara Bava Metzia. The Gemara Bava Metzia says like this. Okay, Gemara says, somebody says like this. Okay, we have another responsible shomer here. And he says, the father of one of you gave me something to watch. Okay, we're talking about Yarshim here, children. The father's no longer around, we can't ask him. Right? He says, one of you two, your father gave me something to watch, but I don't remember who it was. Right, so this is very similar to our fellow, right? He has something to watch, but he doesn't remember who, right? So is that negligence? We would think it is. So the Mishnah seems to agree with us. Noisim l'zemman v'lzemman. He has to give each one, right? He's so negligent, he has to give each one. Now we're going to see that this Mishnah is only l'tzitzit eshamayim. It's only if he has a guilty conscience, he wants to do the proper thing, he wants to do the right thing, that's when he has to give each one, okay? And we're going to discuss a little bit, when is it l'tzitzit eshamayim, and when can it actually be demanded in a court of law, in a bezin. Okay? But that we're going to leave for later. What we're going to focus on right now is it negligence? Is he negligent? The Mishnah says he has to give to each one a mana. That means he bears responsibility. There's something he did wrong. Okay? So now this yeshiva boy, he has two cases, right? Something he bears responsibility. He has to know who gave him which one. Oh. But then we go to another Mishnah right afterwards. It says, Shnayim Shef Kidu Eitzalecha, two people, right? The first Mishnah was only one person gave. But now we have two people gave, Eitzalecha, Zem Mana, one person gave 100 pounds, and Zem Asayim, and the other one gave 200, right? And each one says, I'm the one that gave you the greater amount, right? So then the Mishnah says something else. The Mishnah says that it stays Efkar, I don't know, basically the person keeps the 100 that's under contest. The last 300 that's under contest, he holds on to it basically until they work it out themselves. One of them is going to admit, or maybe they'll decide amongst themselves to divide it, but they have to come up with an arrangement. Until they come up with an arrangement, neither of them get it, he holds on to it. Okay? And the Mishnah says it's true not only by money, but it's true by objects, such as what we have, the case of the laptop and the lunch. Right? Okay. So that's the Mishnah. So now in this Mishnah, you see, the Shomer is not really so responsible. He doesn't have to come up with an extra 100, right? All he does is he say, well, it's sure that each of you get 100. That much you have on me. The last 100, he says, it's not my problem, right? If you guys want it, sort it out yourself. You prove to me that you're the owner, and then I'll give it to you, right? So now this boy in the airport lounge, right, let him do the same thing. He says, hey, you guys gave me things to watch. I watched it. Right, now you can't make up between the two of you who gets the laptop. You have plenty of time, 5 minutes until we board, figure out who gets it and come back to me. Right, but until then, it's not my problem. Okay, so we have two Mishnayos, and each one seems to point in a different direction. What do? We look at the Gemara. The Gemara asks the same question. Baruch Hashem. The Gemara says, the beginning, the first part of the Mishnah says that he's negligent if he doesn't know who he owes it to. The second part of the Mishnah says that no, he's not negligent. He simply can tell them to work it out. What are we going to do? So there's two ways to understand the answer of the Gemara. And that answer, those two ways, perhaps, will have very big ramifications by our students in the airport. We're going to start with the Riff. The Riff says like this. He says, it depends what happens. If each one comes with a separate bag, so then what he's required to do is he's required to know which bag belongs to which person. Let's say he can't remember. So then he says like this. He should have written down the name of the person. Right? If you're afraid, right, that somehow or another it's a long time, you're not going to remember. Right? So then you should write it down. Now, interestingly, we're not going to get involved in this, but there are opinions that sometimes if it's only for a short amount of time, maybe you wouldn't have to write it down. Perhaps you can make such a case. I won't. I have to think about it more. But by nekach, by sale, it's brought down this thing that if you sell something to somebody, you don't have to write down who you sold it to, because he's going to come back immediately. And perhaps, if somebody is very talented, perhaps somebody could say the same thing by the airport. After all, they're going to be churned by boarding time. So maybe if it's only one person, it's not two people, it's only one person, you could assume they're going to come quickly, you could assume that you'll remember, and in the end you forgot, you're an onus. Perhaps you can make such an argument. Okay. But this is what happens. Let's go back to the Rif. The Rif says, you, generally speaking, you're required to write down the name of the person that gave it to you. So now if you have two bags, really, you should write down on each bag, put a piece of paper, this is the tall man, and this is the less tall man. Okay. Now, but let's say that's not two bags. Let's say they gave you one bag, but in that bag was both a laptop and lunch. So it says you're not required to take apart the bag and know which part of the bag belongs to one person, which part of the bag belongs to the other person. If they gave it to you in one bag, that means they trust each other, and you only have to know that it belongs to the two of them. You don't have to know more than that. That's what the Rif says. So now, according to the Rif really is being machmir. Right? When we come to our yeshiva boy, sitting in the airport, we come to our, that case. So according to the Rif, that each one gave him a separate piece of luggage, each one gave him a separate carry-on. So according to the Rif, he's required to know which one is which, and if not, Shiyusa, he's negligent. He's negligent, and we're going to see how much his responsibility is. Rashi says differently. Rashi says, and Rashi's gifts in the Gemara is different. His gifts in the Gemara is like this. They gave it to him together at the same time. Okay? And the Gemara says, I'm going backwards, but the Gemara says, therefore, it's nasa kamisha hefkidulo b'krach echad. It's just as if it was one bag, but it wasn't. Right? It says nasa, it becomes as if it was one bag. But it doesn't have to be one bag. As long as they come simultaneously, that means there's a certain degree of trust, because otherwise they would have said, can I speak to you a minute? Come here. Right? I have something here. Don't show anybody. Could you watch it for me? But they didn't do that. They went together. Right? That means they trusted each other. The Shamar doesn't have to be more concerned than they themselves were. He's allowed to let the other person in on the deal too. That's what Rashi says. So now in our case, with the two pieces of luggage, right, Yeshiva boy is going to say, hey, you guys came to me together. If you two came together, then all I have to know is that belongs to the two of you. I don't have to know which one. It's not so simple. It's still not so simple. Why? Because like this. Because is the Gemara that if you give two animals to a shepherd, you're thinking about this, very good, okay. If you give two animals to a shepherd, then the luck is that he could say like this, the luck is if you give two animals to a shepherd, so then he's chayiv. He can't say, two people gave an animal to a shepherd, one of them died, and each one says the live one is his, right? So any Adair Shalimai, so he doesn't know which one gets the live one, which one gets the dead one. He shall understand, he has to give two live ones, right? So the Sma brings the Tosis, not like the Vilna Gaon, the Sma brings the Tosis, and he says, and you want to know why? Because they couldn't give it privately, right? An envelope full of money, you can call the guy over privately and say, here, I have something to give you. But a big ox, everybody's going to see the ox by the Shamar, they're going to know he has it. Right? So you can't do it privately. So therefore it doesn't make a difference. You do it separately. If you do it together, it doesn't prove anything. It could be you still have to be suspicious. So you could say the same things. The luggage is obvious that it belongs to somebody, right? So maybe the fact that it came together is irrelevant, or maybe not. Maybe not, because maybe people will think that this luggage does belong to the boy himself. So I don't know the answer to that. That we're gonna leave hanging. Okay? So let's redo the case, and then we're gonna move on to the third element of this question. Okay, first of all, to become responsible, the first question was, is he responsible? Let's assume he made a prapatinian, he made an agbah, he lifted it up, he said, I'm becoming Yishomer, he's responsible. Now, is he negligent? We're going to take the case that's most chomer. They came to him one by one. First one person came and gave him a bag, and then the other person came and gave him a bag. In that case, everybody agrees, both the Rif and Rashi will agree, you have to know who gave you which bag, and if you're concerned that you won't remember, write it down, otherwise you're pesheya. Okay? So he's responsible, and he's negligent. But now that he's negligent, we're up to the next question. Is this just something that he has to do if he wants to be lotzei sedei shemayim? He goes, you know, really, I should have been more careful. Here, let me pay both of you. Or, can they actually take him to Bezin? Can they take him to court and demand the money? Now, in the Mishnah, we said it's nice in mana lezeh, nice in mana lezeh. You have to give 100 to each one. But the Gemara says it's only lotzei sedei shemayim. It's only if he has a guilty conscience, he wants to do the right thing, so then he says, I'll give you each 100. But if, let's say, he says, you know, I'm hard up, maybe one day I'll be able to do the right thing, but right now I just don't have the money, and they say, well, we're going to take you to court, and we're going to make you sell your property, right? We don't have time to wait for you. Question is, can they take him to court, right? And that's what we have to deal with now. Now, how come in the Mishnah, why is it in the Mishnah that it's only Lotzei Sidei Shemayim? Okay, why is it that it's only Lotzei Sidei Shemayim? So somebody said before, and that's what we're going to start with, somebody before said, right? Everybody learned Gemara a little time. You say you owe $100, and you say you owe $100, right? But it's only one of you, right? You want the money from me, you have to prove it, right? And the Gemara does entertain such a possibility. It says the words are, Mesekalom Afkinim Limona, we won't take money out in doubt. Uki Limona Becheskas Murray, we'll put the money by the one that owns it. Okay. Now, in fact, Reb Tarfon holds this way. This is the opinion of Reb Tarfon. Let's say somebody was a thief. Somebody was a thief. And as thieves are, he stole from many people. So he knows, in this block, one day he had a job, right? It was a good job. He knows he stole something from one of five people. But he doesn't know which one. He doesn't know which one of the five he stole from. Says Reb Tarfon that until they prove which is the original owner, he doesn't have to pay. Why? Because of the same principle, because he's the mufsik, he's the one that's holding on to it, and therefore he says, when you prove, I would like to pay you back, when you prove to me that you're the original owner, I'll be happy to pay. That's Rabbi Tarfon. However, we hold that Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that he does have to pay to each one. Right? Somebody stole something from one of five people, he doesn't know which one. Says Rabbi Akiva, you got to pay out five times. Why don't we say that he's the one in possession, and since he's the one in possession, it's 9/10 of the law, the burden of proof is on them. He says, I'll tell you why. He says, because he did something wrong. He stole. If he did something wrong, then there's a fine. Chazal find you, there's a knas, and they say you have to pay each one. Says the Muki Yosef, over here, when we're talking about this person who's watching for two people, he was negligent. He did something wrong. If he did something wrong, Chazal, according to Rabbi Kiva, Chazal knasim, right? And he has to pay. So how come in our Mishnah he only pays, it's only Bidei Shemayim? Right? We just said there's a knas, there's a fine that could be demanded in the court of law in Beis Din. How come in our Mishnah he can't demand? So that's what the Gemara says, because in the Mishnah he said, what did he say in the Mishnah? He said, Aviv shel echav michem, one of your fathers once gave me something. Really? My father gave something to you to watch? I didn't know that. In the Mishnah, the person he's talking to is a Shema. He's not demanding anything in a court of law. He says, okay, if you say my father gave it to you, I don't remember. I wasn't there as a little boy, right? But if you say my father gave, I'll be happy to take it back, right? But in our case, it's different. In our case, they're not Shema, they're a Bari. Each person is saying, the laptop is mine, right? So if that's the case, when there's a Bari, according to Rabbi Kiva, there would be a knas. This is brought down again in the Sefer HaTrumot. He says like this. If they gave them two bundles, have a leva medak, then this person, this shomer, this watchman, he should have been careful. He should have written down, this belongs to Reuven and this belongs to Shimon. Therefore, kansinim le, we fine him, right? Mishom the avapshia, because he was negligent. Dumi is a devil just like a thief. The that we fine him because he did something wrong, prohibited. What did he do? That he stole. He says, why? This sounds like a mussar shmuz, really. Dipshius of a mamon acherim, negligence with somebody else's property, isur namihu, that's also prohibited. To be negligent with somebody else's property, that's prohibited. And therefore, Chazal find you. In fact, the law is brought down on Shulchan Aruch, Sim and Shin, that it says, two people left money with one, and each one gave 100, one gave 200, each one claims the 200, so the law is they have to swear that they're the ones that got the 200, but nevertheless, Yitain kuf kuf was there, he should give 200 to this one, and 200 to that one. So it comes out that this poor boy in the airport, he started off the day doing, he thought he was doing the mitzvah, watching for people, right, but the end was that he gets knas because he was negligent, and he has to come up with two laptops. What's the best thing to do? The best thing is don't make the kinyan, say I'll be happy to watch it for you, but I'm not a shaver, I don't accept that responsibility.